And in the studio, my favorite chumps, Cyber Chump. Now, how long has it been since the last CD?
I think it's been about a year and a half. I think the spring of last year, of 05, we came out with Secrets to Tell You. Yeah.
And those, you know, your last two CDs have been my just absolute favorites.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I really love them. So this is a little bit of a departure.
Yeah, it's in a way, it's sort of going back. It's our third CD, Abstract Air, was sort of a CD of soundscapes and no beats. And
hearing that in the background.
Yeah, it's in the background.
Yes.
And so what we really thought after doing two, and we did it that the first time too, you know, after kind of doing two beat CDs, it felt like it was time to really kind of... We always try to change direction on every CD. And so this time it felt like to kind of go back and explore some of that territory again. Mm-hmm. And with what we'd learned. Because I think every time we do a new CD, we learn an awful lot about, you know, not only just the technology that we're using and how that's changed, but just new ways to make sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this one, we really thought, let's try to go back and maybe explore soundscaping again or maybe fragments or impressions of melody.
Because
we had really been writing songs. And one of the things Jim's sort of been doing and he's talked to me a lot about is just, you know, in electronica in general, a lot of times the music isn't really a song. And so we try to do that. Mm-hmm. We try to really write songs for our stuff.
Right.
And we try to do that with... even if it's sort of a like a soundscape, or on this new one, a bunch of sort of like melody fragments.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised by, because with ambient music, you can, you know, it could go on for 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually have, you know, regular time signatures for 52, 8 minutes, 6 minutes. They're actual...
Well, this CD actually was a lot longer, and we found that we just like them shorter. So we've edited. There's been 3 or 4 songs that have been cut down considerably. I mean, one was 10 or 12 minutes long. That's probably 6 now, you know, things like that. And over the over time, we find that we're trying to get to some place where it's listenable 10 years from now as well. And that's our goal. And hopefully we hit that.
It was listenable 10 years from now as well as now.
Yeah, as well as now, yeah.
Not just 10 years from now. You can't listen to it now.
We're going
to
love the CD in about 10.
That's right.
Well, hopefully it doesn't take you 10 years to get there yet.
That's right. One of the things that we started with when we were sort of, we try to really change up our approach all the time. Like we don't sit with the same instruments. The same approach. Like a lot of people, I think they set up a studio, they have all their instruments, they have kind of the palette the same.
Yeah.
And what we do is we really try to change up the palette an awful lot. So we're usually not playing the same instruments the same way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Though in this one, I think there is a cohesiveness in a way that may not exist. But I do think compared to a lot of ambient music, it's very different. There's a lot of variety.
Right, exactly.
Now,
exactly.
We didn't start that way. One of the things we had done early on was we sort of jammed some ambient music. We sat down, turned on the mics, and just recorded ourselves playing. And then we just layered tracks on tracks on tracks on tracks. And we had like this one song that was like maybe 12 minutes long and had 10 different improvisational tracks. And at first we thought, this is great. We already have an album with this one song. It just depends on how we mix it, right?
Yeah.
We'll just mix it 6 different ways, and we've got an album.
Well, we actually took it and we called it the name of it. Actually, it's a long story. But anyway, we took these and named these the different versions because we stripped off certain things and named them different versions.
Yeah.
Using the same name, and one was guitar basses, one was key basses. And actually, one of them did survive.
Do you remember which one?
Yeah, it's the key basses one.
What is it now? What is it called?
It's called Waking in the Dreamtime.
Oh, that's right. Okay. The other one's still kind of in the
studio. Well, it's so dark that Mark said, we're going to deep 6 people here, so let's go someplace else.
Now, Jim and Mark, you have a very unique way of creating music together. For people who have never heard an interview before with you guys, you actually create music miles and miles away from each other.
Yeah, Kansas City, that's where I'm from.
I'm here in Milwaukee.
Yeah. And you, and yet every one of your albums are like, you know, like as if you were totally there in the studio together. There's just no, you know, dissonance in any of anything, in any of the CDs. And it's, I always was amazed to know that you guys can work so over the wire like that.
Well, and we're finding that it really helps us because, I don't know, it just seems to work better for us.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, you don't get so frustrated when you have time to work on things and think about it. Because a lot of times, you know, you're working on something and it's not going right that day. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you can put it aside and come back to it. And when you have two of us there, and Mark and I have these kind of personalities, that sometimes it's like oil and water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just get at a point where it's blocked.
But yeah.
Over time, we both seem to see the same way to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. If you get, you know, in the studio and you have, let's say, like we get together maybe once or twice a year, and we'll usually try to record something.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more, it's, we used to just kind of get together and finish a song right away that weekend. And now it's really been more like laying down some things that the other person go back with. And so, because we've been kind of moving toward improv a little bit more in our music.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to lay down the approach we've had recently is to lay down some live tracks and then go back and sculpt it all and start to change it and start to add things to it individually. But, you know, the pressure's really on when you're in front of somebody and you got to play something and be brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, so what we found is many times we'll just kind of keep it simple. And lay down something basic that we both like, that's like a template for a song, and then go back home on your own and then work out your guitar part or your keyboard part. Yeah.
I think this is a good place to actually go to a song.
Yeah. Well, okay, now let's talk about...
So, should we talk about this album?
Yeah, let me first ask you about the title of the album.
Sankara.
Sankara.
Well, it's a Buddhist term, and there's probably some people out there who probably know this term better than I do, but it's a term we kind of came across, and it's rather new to us. And it really seemed to reflect kind of where we were coming from, in that it seems to be about a concept about coming together of ideas and sort of a building of ideas and a building of your intellect or concepts or where you're coming from, and over a period of time. So,
it's,
you know,
it's
sort of like the building of, right, the building. And it can be divergent things as well as just sort of like developing the way your intellect or your thought comes together, that sort of thing. So, and that, we thought that kind of fit us.
Exactly. That could even be the name of the band if you ever changed it.
Right.
Let's not go there now.
That might be more commercial.
Yeah. I like Cyberchump. Don't get me wrong. Okay, well, let's listen to the first track. And the first track is Anticipation, Something
Out There.
Something Out There.
We couldn't decide on whether it was something that was out there. I was sort of like... it's just a compromise. I was sort of saying when we put this song together, I kind of thought, this sounds like something's out there and it's out at the perimeter and it's coming, you know, and we don't know what it is. And since it's the beginning of the album also, I think Jim was saying that it's...
We're
anticipating something.
Yes.
So we decided we'll use both titles.
Okay. Okay, this is brand new.
Now, the other thing I guess I want to say, when you listen to our new CD,
yes,
we really think that the subtitle or one of the... You know, we always put something on our disc that says something about how to approach it.
Yeah.
And this one really has... It's something like wait and see. That this work, I think, requires some patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not... It kind of isn't handed to you right away.
Mm-hmm.
So just want to let people know that.
Okay. Brand new Cyberchump on WMSE. is the music of Cyberchump on WMSC from their brand new CD, Shankara. And I can't ever say, oh, gee, guys, I don't like this album. I like this album. I'm not an ambient girl, you know. I'm not a big, I like ambient stuff.
Ambient girl.
I like ambient stuff, but I think, like, for my show, it doesn't necessarily work too well because, you know, it's live radio, people driving around going, you know.
Ambient in the car doesn't work real well.
Yeah, ambient in the car doesn't work.
But, you know, interestingly enough, I had never listened to this in the car, and I listened to it coming up here. And this one has a sense about it that doesn't quite make the ambient, because it doesn't put you to sleep at all. It's,
right.
It's got this tension to it. I mean, maybe it's just because I like my own music. I don't know, but I liked it in
the
car.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like I say, I'm not a huge ambient person, but I like this CD. So you have found the space in between.
That's what we're trying to do.
And you do it, so.
I might say that last song is a good example of something we start out as an improvisation. In fact, that's almost totally an improvisation that's been edited down, and we just added a few things in the background. But that was just Mark and
playing.
He's on keyboard, I'm on guitar, and we were just playing off each other. And really, I mean, I don't even know where that came out of the ether. I mean, we just started it and it ended.
And that happens to us a lot where we just turn it on and we just sit down and play. We just start playing.
Yeah.
And that's what you got.
Well, it shows how much you know each other, you know, how well you know each other to be able to, you know, anticipate sort of what the other person's going to do and kind of lead them or lead each other. It seems to me that's, you know...
Yeah, well, that's part of the improv that's fun is, you know, when you're in the studio and you're sort of looking at each other, you want to seize that opportunity. It's very different than what we normally do, which is to work in our own studio and then email our files back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different animal.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that on here, too, as well. I mean, probably, let's see, half of these, I think, started out as an improv. And the other half, we started independently and finished them up across the miles.
Yeah.
And one of the things about that collaboration, I think, is that, letting go of it, you know, I know what my stuff sounds like. That's not what's interesting. What's interesting is you do something and you send it off and then hear what the other person does.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they take it somewhere completely different than you thought or add something you would have never considered, you know, and I think that that's the part, the collaborative process that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Have you
ever thrown out a song because neither one of you agrees to the changes?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say let's back up here because actually we talked about doing an ambient CD and we actually talked about putting out two CDs at once. An ambient CD and we were talking about doing one that was improvisational. And then we got working on stuff and we were up here in November and we hadn't really gotten started on the ambient stuff. We'd started jamming some stuff and never really got unfinished, but we had about 8 songs done of stuff that was, well, more like I'd say Secrets to Tell You or the end, you know, the second half of Secrets to Tell You. And one night we got together and my wife Becky and his wife Teresa, Mark and I, we sat down and listened to it and we were just like, wow, that's great stuff. And
we're really on track here. Yeah, this is something amazing.
And then we had a couple things we wanted to work on. So we worked on them the next day and we stuck them in the mix. And they were the same songs, but we had changed some stuff. And we listened to all of them again and nobody could agree on anything. And it was very frustrating. We actually hung up all those songs. We never even went back to them.
We just kind of looked at each other like, wow. I guess it's over.
Yeah, I mean,
oh my God.
I mean, no, you know, it's like, can we work together again?
Yeah.
And so we went home and we said, well, let's start working on the ambient album then. Let's maybe just try something completely different, some other way to go. And that had its own frustrations, but it had more to do with the technical stuff in the long term. Mm-hmm. We did have some problems this time because Mark would kept on sending me these files. I thought, what is this garbage? I mean, he's throwing stuff in there. And finally I said, we'd be talking, and it was like we were talking in two different languages.
Yeah.
So.
Right. I'm like, well, don't you like, you know, this is really good. I think you'll like this. I'm very excited by it. And then he'd listen to it and go, are you kidding me? What is this?
And so, and luckily we can be honest with each other. So I finally said, okay, I mixed down the song he sent me, and I sent it back to him. I says, "Is this really what you sent me?"
Right, because he's thinking, at this point, I think that's one of the things I like about Jim is that he was like, you know, he didn't like it. He thought it really was really bad, but he was willing to like entertain it enough that he mixed it down and said, "Okay, what do you think? Here, I mixed it," you know.
And Mark goes, "What is this stuff?" Because we were getting the files were, it wasn't pulling the right files. We work in this program called Acid, which takes loops out of your computer, and it searches for them. Well, somehow the tags were wrong or something because it was pulling over the wrong stuff, and so we weren't even hearing
the same song.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh!
Because it references loops on your computer, on your database, so it was pulling different files that might have had the same names on his computer
that were totally different.
Yeah, they weren't the files I was putting in.
Oh my gosh.
So I might, let's say, have saxophone 01 or something, right?
Yeah.
And then he's got a saxophone 01, but it's not the same sound file.
Oh, wow.
So we got through that and we decided, well, now we're going to have to send, you know, a file along with it just to know if it's transferring. Because it started happening on both sides, we found. Mm-hmm. You know, after we started experiencing. And we never got it straightened out. We just found one yesterday like that.
Right. It's the same one that was causing trouble for 6 months ago. We got to just have to delete this thing.
Oh, my gosh.
But we kind of look. See, that's what I mean. We got to this point where it didn't really. We were like, did they go insane? I mean, what is he thinking? And he was thinking the same thing about me. Like, what is this stuff?
Oh, my God.
And you can tell.
I can imagine.
Well, and, you know, most of our conversations were by email, so we weren't really talking to each other.
Sure.
And so it was getting like, and you could tell frustration setting in on both sides, and we're just. You know, we both were thinking, maybe this is the end of this deal. And then when we figured out what it was, we were all laughing about it. You know, we're just like, this is insane, but that's what happened, you know.
The headlines read Cyber Chump
kills each other.
Done in by its own technology.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
You have to have a sense of humor sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is, again, you know, because you are such, you know, long distance apart, it's amazing that something like this hasn't happened sooner.
Right.
That's probably true.
On our first CD, Dreams Groove, what song is it? There's a song that we all have always had these sort of serendipitous, really bizarre things, like where the equipment starts to have some kind of weird malfunction and make a strange sound, and we're like,
that's
pretty cool. Yeah. Let's keep that in. How do you record that?
Well, I can tell you exactly the song it is. It's Nerve Nut.
Is it?
Yeah. Because, and I never did figure out what it was. It had something to do with the MIDI, and we were on 8-track tape, and I had a MIDI channel or a SMPTE channel striped on there, and I was running the computer along with it. And somehow I got this sound, that was timed perfectly with the song.
So
we go like, what is that? And then we're going like, well, that's cool. Let's leave it in there. So it's in the song.
Wow.
So we really are chumps when it comes to technology.
That's why we're called Cyber Chump.
Exactly. Well, let's take a listen to the next song, Lay Your Head. It's a very breathy song.
Yeah. This is sort of a lay your head down on the pillow, you know. And
I think this one reminds Mark sent me this file, and I play the guitar and what sounds like a bass line. It's actually two guitar parts on here, and everything else is what Mark sent me. Well, no, I changed a couple file sounds, but just the song structure was the same. And he had titled it Lay Your Head. And somehow we got this thing, I think it invokes just before you hit REM sleep, where you're drifting to sleep and all of a sudden just the world just opens up before you. You know, it's like,
excellent. Once again, I can see a movie in all of this. All right, this is from Cyberchump's brand new CD. It's called Shankara, and the track is Lay Your Head. the CD Sankara, and a very sweet song, Lay Your Head. Very sweet.
Thank you.
Very, like, you know, universal star twinkling.
Right. There's a few twinkles
sleepy
in there.
Time.
Yes. Yeah. Sleepy time.
Yeah. Yeah, and one thing, if you listen to the CD straight through, you'll find that it ebbs and flows through moods. And we kind of thought, you know, there's the anticipation. You're anticipating something, and then you go to bed, and then something else is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And you'll hear it in a minute.
We talked about, actually, we go back and forth about, you know, whether we want to talk about our music to each other, you know, while we're doing it. And but we try not to overthink a lot of what we're doing, you know, but, you know, just try to make it emotional. But we tend to do it, or at least I tend to lead us to do it, I guess, at times. And then Jim will say, let's just not talk about it. Let's just do it.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things we were kind of thinking about with this album was, as we started putting things together, you know, originally we were going to call it Abstract Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was that it was about perhaps the formation of the universe and of Earth and all of that. Yeah. And, you know, the form, like the beginning, the bubbling up of life.
Yeah.
And you know, that sort of things crawling out of the muck, you know.
Exactly.
And then we started working on some music that really, in some ways, was like that, but other songs were very kind of personal. And they seem to be more about not external things, you know, not the outer world, not outer space, but the inner world, the inner space, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it was kind of like inner life. And that's when we started having trouble with titles.
Right.
Because I don't know how many titles we've had for this CD, but, you know, we had to really struggle to come up with something that captured it, that we both felt really...
And how did you discover the word? I mean, are either one of you Buddhists?
No.
Well,
he's close.
I wouldn't say I'm Buddhist, but my wife and I have read an awful lot of Buddhist works.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have some things, like, you know, we have a big tanka in our living room that's from a Buddhist temple that some monks did about 120 years ago, from in
Tonka,
Tibet.
I think truck.
Oh no, no! Oh, it's a big.
Too.
It's a, like a what? What did you say?
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, no. It's like a
it's
big.
Got a song.
I wouldn't say a tapestry, but sort of like a painted cloth.
Yeah,
you know, and it has Rinpoche Padmasambhava on it, who kind of brought Buddhism to Tibet and that sort of thing. So yeah, I've studied a bunch of it and read a bunch of it and philosophically find it very interesting and at times comforting and sort of has some guidance to it.
Mm-hmm.
But so that kind of, you know, you're looking for, and I'm a kind of a, we both sort of like words an awful lot. So we collect a lot of words and like today we were looking to name a song that we were working on and we went back to the list.
Mark,
you know,
there's this list of stuff.
We have a list with, like, I don't know, 200, 300 words on it, you know, and titles.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, that sort of thing. But that one, I think that one on the internet, I was just sort of searching for some concepts, putting in concepts, and then finding words that matched it.
Sure.
And then that one kind of came across, and we were like, yeah, I think that's it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, it seems, you know, the way you work, you do it the same pretty much. It hasn't changed much where, you know, the way you've described it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought of just shaking it up and naming the songs before they're created?
We've actually tried that. They don't stick.
They don't. It doesn't. You know, like creating.
You have to. Because, like, when you create a file, you have to name it. So, actually, we've gone both ways. One, we name it, and then usually one of us reacts to that.
Okay.
Like, well, that's really stupid, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I think about half the time... Then first name sticks because it actually does, because whoever started it wrote it down, it actually was, the song was together enough that it actually seemed to be that and to the other person.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And the other half of the time it's going, like, it just evolves into something else.
Yeah.
There's a few songs that tend to get deconstructed down to almost nothing and then start it all over again, that they just change.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you might have an original impression of what you think you're going to do. There are a few songs, like this next one we're going to talk about, First Transmission, which really, that was named First Transmission. And when I had thought about that one, I started this one, and I basically had the idea It was based on an idea. I was thinking about, you know, the first transmission of either an alien life form to our planet, or a radio transmission that was the first transmission, or some kind of electrical transmission, or idea thought, or maybe a virus, something like that. And it was either coming to Earth or trying to contact us, or, or whatever. And
it's very bright. It's very, you know... I mean, it's a positive.
This one?
It's a positive,
First transmission is, I think, the most... that's interesting. I think it's
No, you're right. No, you're right.
Yeah, I
think... We're only on track three. Yeah,
that's right, track three. It's
scary,
a very frightening.
Yeah. It is a scary song.
Right.
Yes.
And we actually... I went on, like, a ham radio and recorded a bunch of static. And that's in the song. So at points, you'll hear some sort of static coming in there, like a transmission.
And this is a good place to say, this is where we start adding, you know, we're going back and we're composting our loops, and we're also, you know, borrowing loops from people. And Bogart, who did our cover of the last one, he plays Ilian pipes, how do you pronounce
it? Ilian pipes.
Ilian pipes. And he wanted to, you know, play some stuff for us one time. So he came over and we you know, just recorded some of his stuff. And then Mark actually started the song with the use of those pipes. But
I love
you can't
those,
really,
by the way.
Well, but... you can't really tell they're in there because we have changed the sound of it enough to where I don't think anybody could really tell that's what they are. But they're a great sound system.
The song is kind of built on two things. One is we had recorded a bunch of accordion breaths, you know, sort of the sound of the accordion going, you know, right, through the notes, you know, a little bit. And then I had basically taken little sections of that and put it together into and then played it through a decay so that it just had this long sort of thing that happens, like a breath.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we put the Ilian pipes in there.
Right.
And it slowly increases over the song. So by the end, there's a lot of tension and sort of frightening. It's like I think of it as sort of this creeping fog that's coming in.
Yeah, the file that I got was actually the Ilian pipes, the accordion breath, and there's a little bit of percussion in there, but not much, and it's not really rhythmic, but it accents things.
Yeah.
And he had given me the description, the title, and I thought it was a cool title. And then I had, you know, decided that I was going to go back to some old instruments that I hadn't picked out for a while. And I have a synthesizer. It's a Korg MS-20, which is an old monophonic synth that actually has a patch bay. You can patch things in. And, of course, I hadn't played it for years, and I'm going like, how does this thing work? But luckily...
But who cares now? You can just make it do whatever.
Well, it's not that easy. I mean, you turn it on and it goes like, there's no noise coming out of this thing. What do I do now? But I had color-coded my settings on that thing. So I went back and I found some sounds to start with, and then I came up with what I liked. And so, let's see, I did some kind of guitar drone, and then I started putting this thing in there. And it... I don't know. How would you describe that sound? I mean, that's the eerie...
Feedback.
Sometimes it's feeding back on itself. And strangely enough, I was thinking, you know, even though it doesn't fit into the title, First Transmission, although it could mean that. I don't know if you've ever been, I travel a lot, so I'm in motels a lot, and you're along the interstate.
Oh,
and I think sometimes it sounds to me like you're hearing a truck coming up in the distance.
Right.
But this is a very melodic truck. It's like, that's strange. And yet, I think the song, it's pretty experimental, I think. It's not... There's very little melody in this, but I think it works as an actual song piece. And there's just something about the way it builds. And then it scares Mark about halfway through when I stuck in. Actually, there's a breathing sound, which turned out I took we had a didgeridoo player on the first CD, and I took that sample and took it down maybe three octaves.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's this weird breathing sound. It's very menacing.
It's Julio Pabon from One Drum.
Excellent. Excellent. But the Ilian pipes on their own, it's a beautiful sound.
It's a gorgeous sound.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not the way we're using
it. So this will...
Sorry, Bogart.
What did he say about that when he heard it?
That's what? I wasn't there, but Mark was describing this.
Right.
Excellent. I don't hear it in there.
That's me?
Okay, well, let's take a listen to First Transmission and listen for the pipes. That's the music of Cyberchump on WMSC from their brand new CD, Sankara. And the track we heard was First Transmission. It was very good. I really like listening to it with you guys.
Like a little discussion group that we had going there, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. Because it is, it's very lush. As much, there's just so much there. And now having heard your description of it and what's all there, it makes it even bigger, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. That song really has no center to it. Mm-hmm. I noticed it's more like Eastern modality, because in the Eastern musics, they don't have the 12-tone scale. They have maybe, I don't know how many tones they have. And that has a lot of that in here. Mm-hmm. It's just because of the sound samples, they're not in tune with each other, and so it
sure
kinda brings that and gives it a modulation all its own, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mark, I sort of asked you in the break, Jim, you weren't here, but
no, I wasn't.
But I want you to be part of this. So, because your CDs have changed and evolved, and I like the way, because the first ones are totally different from this, from what you're doing now, and from Scientists in the Trees and Secrets to Tell You. So you've totally evolved and you've grown along the way, and I think you've really matured, and I love it. But who is your target audience? Do you think the people who still listen to the first CD is still listening now? Do you think your audience has grown with you, or?
I have no idea. And that's part of the, this is the old argument. Are you making music as an artist, or are you making music for an audience? And I've always approached it as, I want to please myself first. Maybe that's self-centered or selfish, but it's got to do something for me first. And I tend to have a broad palette of what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And working with Mark, we always end up in a place different than where we ever thought we were going to start. So I don't think the audience really, we hope they'll hang with us.
Yeah.
And we can pick up some new people along the way. I don't know if that's the way it's going to work.
I'm thinking the kind of people that might appreciate what we do are the kind of people that are open to, they don't want the same album from us. They don't want the same album from anybody,
When I listen to CDs, music tends to be very addictive, where, you listen to a CD and you listen to it again, and, just keep it in the CD player for a week or two and just keep it in. Do you guys sort of get like that with your music, or do you, around your house doing whatever, do you ever throw in Scientists in the Trees and get into it as much, or is, since you've created it, I don't want to hear that thing again?
Can
you get addicted to your own
that.
Music?
When you're making the album, you have to, there's that sort of love-hate with it, because you have to, in one way, you got to listen to it an awful lot. Then you get to the point you've listened to it so much you're sort of deaf to a lot of what it's about. And so, then you have to put it away, maybe, for a while. And then you have to, revisit it again and see what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because this album, I've probably heard this thing, I don't know how many, 100 times, 200 times. And then each time we did the songs, you got to listen to those over and over and over and mix them.
The real shame of it is, I do come back to it. I'll probably put this away now and won't listen to it for, 6 months or something, because then you want to start fresh.
Yeah.
But kind of when you're working on the album, the thing is, you can never have the perspective of the first-time listener.
Right.
Nobody's ever, you can't hear it the first time finished.
Right, 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 right.
Only somebody else can. And that's, and then to get that feedback, like sending it to you, coming in here and hearing you say something about it, that's the first time we get any feedback about it. Our wives have heard it.
Yeah.
Because when you're making music, you always do whatever you do in a context. And so it's like in our context, in the world we've created for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to imagine what do other people in their context hear this music as? Or when it gets played, like when you play one song and then you play it around other music and artists, we don't, that context, you can't imagine what that's about. So,
yeah.
And that, I think that colors the music in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's kind of what's interesting about it, because there's also this issue of sort of like with what we've been doing, a lot of what we're doing are deliberately not finished in a sense of like a definitive, this is it. It's more like stuff that's causing an impression for you. Like you mm-hmm. you know, you might imagine, like you said, driving through town in the middle of the night or whatever,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and hearing some of those sounds. And that's great, because it's evoking something from
right.
you.
Right.
You know, so that's, as opposed to just sort of telling you, this is the thing, you know, mm-hmm. this is it.
Yeah, we, you know, when my wife was listening to this while I was out of town, she, you know, the thing that seemed to strike her was that we've been using the term for, what, 3 CDs now, mm-hmm. of oral sculptor,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
sculpture. And she says, now I get what you are doing with that. That is truly sculpture. You know,
right, right.
Sculpting sound. And that's where I think we came up with the term, was that we're approaching the music, you know, in a way. I'm not a visual person, which mm-hmm. is odd, but I, you know, I can see, you know, we're piecing these things together. We're not sitting there linearly playing a song or writing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's coming out of it, is an actual sculpting process, because we
right.
add, subtract, we do everything, you know.
Right.
Right. And, you know, what you said about evoking, you know, emotions, and I think that's what's different about this CD versus a lot of other ambient CDs. You can put an ambient CD on and go about your business at home, la, 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 and, you know, it's just, you know, music in the background. But there's so much that pulls you in with this CD that, you know, oh, that's kind of scary. And, oh, wow, that sounds pretty cool. And, oh, you know, I mean, it stops what you're doing to listen. And I, you know, I think that's what's, you know.
That gets back to the car. And that's what I noticed, you know. In the car, it actually seemed, you know, because there you have full,
right.
you can have a lot of attention on it. Yeah, you got to watch the road and stuff like that. And this is an album, even without the rhythm, the beats, it seems to pull you in.
Exactly. Whereas some ambient stuff, you can be driving along and you don't even notice the song right. is on.
You know, I guess you're right. In the true sense of what ambient music is, it usually is. I mean, right when Eno brought up the mm-hmm, whole concept, mm-hmm. You know, it was supposed to be something in the background that you barely heard. Mm-hmm. And it kind of went in and out of what you're currently doing.
Right.
And you might forget about it for a while. And it might, the birds outside chirping might be more prevalent than this music you're playing. And you're right. I think that this stuff requires some attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, know? Yeah, not so much yeah. requires.
You
know,
it maybe draws you to. Okay,
right. yeah. yeah.
And I think, and it actually can work both ways, because like I said, even, I don't know, maybe I haven't mentioned this here, but I've listened to this loud at my house a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you're playing this one loud, it doesn't block out the other sounds around you. You'll hear those other sounds. So it's really, does function in an ambient sense, only it's reversed the process. That other stuff comes through, even when you're listening to it loud, the ambient noises outside mm-hmm, come mm-hmm. through. It's not a, and I think that's because there's no rhythm. You know, you don't have a, you know, a pulse and loud
yeah.
rhythms going on.
Right.
And blanketing everything out.
Right.
That's one of the things that why we thought we would do this ambient CD was that, you know, we were known for doing a lot of very rhythmic music with a lot of beats in it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I think there's a lot of rhythm in this album, even without beats, there's still, by getting away from the beats and like the basic sort of overt groove,
mm-hmm.
you really pay much more attention to melody and to sound,
right.
to sonic quality.
Right. Yeah. Which makes you guys the sculptures.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. to you could just have a sound come in, but you have a sound come in and do something and then come out, and then, you know, it's not just, it just doesn't hit you.
Right.
You know, there's, I don't know, you guys are great.
Well, why don't we move on to another song? Tremor.
Yeah.
How about that one?
Okay.
Do you want to talk about Tremor at all?
No.
Well,
no.
Tremor to me was the one that was the bright song. It was very bright, very.
Well, it's got bright sounds to it. I think this is the one that Becky, my wife, thinks sounds like a music box.
Okay.
And this was kind of a, I have an old Rhodes piano, or not, excuse me, it's not a Rhodes, it's an old Wurlitzer piano, electric
uh-huh.
piano. And I decided to use that on this. And actually, all I did was record these little loops. And I recorded about 6 of them to a click track.
Uh-huh.
You know, and So then I put these things together, and when you're playing them that slow, I mean, this is 60 beats per minute, and even though you're playing to a click track, they tend to slip in and out of the groove, but the groove's still there. Mark thinks this thing always sounds like it's ready to fall apart, and then never does.
Right. Is this the... I played guitar on this one, right?
Yeah. Acoustic guitar on this one.
Yeah. And I haven't played guitar on Cyberchump music before. I mean, bass, but yeah. I've never really played, you know, acoustic or electric guitar on Cyberchump music. I've always kept to the keyboard. So on this one, I'm decided... Well, he started playing keyboards, so then, you know... <You're> like, well, what am I going to do? So, whip out the guitar.
I'll show you.
That's right. He got even.
Okay, now why title like Tremor?
Well, Tremor first came from the sound of it because I was using a tremolo sound.
Okay.
But after the song got written, then all of a sudden I'm thinking thematically that it kind of reminds me of the falling apart part and everything.
Sure.
And some of the things that we end up doing with this whole thing reminds me of somebody dealing with that time of his life where you might have tremors, where you don't have total control over your own body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, I think, where that came from.
Oh. Huntington's Korea. This is Cyberchump on WMSE. The music of Cyberchump on WMSC, we heard three tracks together. That was Walking in the Dreamtime.
Waking in the Dreamtime.
Waking in the Dreamtime. Oh, Interrupting the Realm Sleep, is it?
Something like that.
REM Sleep. On the Ice and Tremor.
And that's going working backwards.
Working backwards, exactly. So the On the Ice was very, you know,
very icy.
It went like how I described it was. It seemed like it was like dark right before sunrise, and then it got brighter, and a new day was there.
There you go. I think that describes it pretty well.
Yeah. Describes what I was thinking, right?
Can't add anything to that.
That is lovely in an odd sort of way.
Well, thank you.
I mean that as a compliment.
It sort of has this like Russian classical feel in a way.
Exactly. That's exactly, I think, is the Russian part.
I think of that song as sitting in this sort of like Moscow building, you know, like office building that's very like clean and empty.
Mm-hmm.
And you every once in a while you look out the doorway and look down the empty hall.
And that's
then
when
there's
you,
nobody there, and you go back and sit at your desk again.
Are you a Jane Seabury fan?
No.
Okay. Well, she's her second album. She had.
Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking author. No.
I'm talking about
Sidbury. That's
or Sidbury. Well, I got it, or Seabury. How is it pronounced? Sidbury.
Seabury.
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 But her second CD, she has a song called "Map of the World."
Mm-hmm.
And there's a description in that song that kind of hits that, you know, about the little stick men going to work. And they jump off the edge of the world.
Oh, my.
excellent.
Just an aside.
Well, and so the name of that track was Contemplation.
Yeah. A Cadence of Thought.
A Cadence of Thought.
Sort of the rhythm of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Which yeah. was, that was very, there was no real cadence to that song.
Well, I don't know. Originally, I think Jim was saying to me that he thought it was sort of like a little waltz a couple was doing.
Right. I think there's a cadence to it, but the start, stop, rhythm yeah. breaks it up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we got the idea. It's like you're contemplating something and you sit there. You don't just, you know, your mind's not racing when you're
right.
contemplating. You're sitting there and thinking, and then that's kind of what
the rhythm. Yeah.
yeah. And then you go, yeah, no, yeah, okay. That was Fragile.
Yeah, Fragile.
And again, Mark's playing electric guitar this time, and I'm playing the keyboards, which just reverses most of what we do.
Yeah. Now, was that planned, or did it just happen? That
we just react
primarily
off of each other.
Well, it happened in the sense that I started it on this. Again, I'm using that old Wurlitzer piano, mm-hmm. and it was just like I went back to some sound sources. The Wurlitzer I'd never used in recordings, so to speak. I bought this piano for $100 about 10 years ago, and I use it quite a bit. Just in the morning, I wake up and I'll play a few things on it just to kind of start my day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I really want to record something with this, and so. It's upstairs, so I have this, it's actually a guitar effects pedal that has has 8-track recording in it, and I drug that up there, and two Sundays in a row, I went up there and made some short loops and then structured songs out of them, and I sent those to Mark, and both time Mark's reaction was to put a guitar part on there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Just being reactionary and oppositional.
Yeah, right.
You did a good job, too.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention that, you know, our music is out there for people to get. They don't have to just go to our website. You can mm-hmm. pretty much go to Amazon.com. A number of albums on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the more obscure things, too. We have a song that's on Ohm Records mm-hmm. That got released that's on a compilation of theirs. That's on iTunes and eMusic. You can get our stuff at eMusic, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually working on our first two CDs, getting those on iTunes.
Yeah, we just signed with a label called Chai Kai out of London, and they are looking at putting out our first two CDs.
Great.
So we're kind of getting it all out there.
Yeah.
So should we finish up the last two songs?
Yeah. We have Long Goodbye and Abstract Earth, which is very also kind of spooky and so.
Yeah, the end of Abstract Earth, I did this sort of keyboard
watery.
That's sort of a Terry Riley kind of thing, uh-huh. I think, you know? And so that, yeah, and it was originally called Pod, and it was just basically this concept of, you know, the earth kind of something coming up from the muck
yeah.
and growing.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
And the Long Goodbye, well, you know, what he needs
to say. It's the Long Goodbye.
It's the Long Goodbye. Okay, this is Cyber Chump from Sankara.
We're still not sure what it's called.
We don't know.
Potato, potato.
Call us and tell us.
On WMSE. That's the music of Cyber Chump on WMSC from their brand new CD. Thank you so much for letting me play this.